Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
What got you into weed, bro?
Well, weed is who I am. You know, I don't hide with it no more.
And did you ever fight high?
Once in my life. I got fined $250,000, though.
Damn, who was that?
Andrew Galata.
So you still beat him?
I displayed the worst beating in the history.
Oh, some good shit.
Yeah, breaking bones, eye socket, cheekbones, necks. It's putting it down.
You did that on a joint? That don't sound like a joint.
No, that was a joint. It's a cocaine ass whooping right there.
I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real.
Everybody's like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? I'm all of it. All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real, real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harry. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Yes, what's going on, y'all, man? This is a very special edition of Expeditiously. I am extremely honored and feel extreme privileged to be able to introduce this next guest. Now, this gentleman, he became the heavyweight champion of the world, the youngest to do so in history, and for all the extraordinary professional achievement he's had, he's also experienced unimaginable tragedy in his personal life and overcame that. I'm going to spare you the accolade because I don't want to waste a lot of time, man.
Take your time.
I would simply say that he is arguably one of the greatest that's ever done this shit, and I'm talking about the shit in boxing and this shit called life. Please welcome Iron Mike Tyson.
Thank you, brother.
Motherfucking champion. What's happening, bro?
Hey, man, Q. It's beautiful. Man.
Now, you know, here Expeditiously, man, this is all about sitting down, having conversations with legends and legends in living life. You dig what I'm saying? And having a conversation about your journey and so the next generation can feed off of this and kind of navigate themselves through some of the same pitfalls that you and I had.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk to you about being the youngest heavyweight champion in history. I know when Cus D'Amato first started talking about you early on.
Yes.
He predicted that you would be the youngest heavyweight champion. What you think? Why you think that was?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what he saw in me. There's no way, by the way, my lifestyle of the young street kids snatching chains, robbing houses, just right. Whatever I could do. Just no perspective of myself, just out in the streets,
right.
Gambling with life.
Yeah.
And I've been arrested quite a few times, over 40 times before I became 13.
Right.
So I was arrested and I was sent upstate New York, and eventually it was a guy that used to be a professional boxer. He started taking a like and asked him to teach me how to box.
Right.
And he started teaching me and I excelled, and he said, you've become too good to me. I have to take you somewhere else.
Mm.
So he could take you to the next level.
Mm.
I can't teach you anymore.
Right.
And so he took me to Cus D'Amato, and I just started boxing, and Cus just started telling me that I could be the best in the world.
You'll always be, you know, superhero champion status in my book, simply because I feel such an incredible ability to relate to you, because I too was, you know, a little badass kid ripping and running, doing shit for no reason without any any vision of where it was going. I too was arrested dozens of times before I became an actual adult. I spent a lot of time in juvenile, and I too had talent that I had to rechannel this energy into in order for me to kind of manifest. What was the first thing that you felt like you had to achieve before you felt you were manifested properly?
When I first started living life, I didn't really have any confidence. I met Carlson, he just stripped me down, and I didn't have a good self-esteem.
Okay.
You know, I used to be bullied a lot and picked on my self-esteem came from what I wore and who I was with.
Gotcha.
And, you know, and so it was just horrible. And so it was just, I had no love, no self-love. And then he gave me something.
What's that?
He gave me an ego.
So the ego somehow became just as strong as the man.
And stronger. I'm nothing. My ego's everything. I'm shit. I'm a piece of shit. Nothing.
Right.
My ego's everything.
Now I understand exactly what you're saying, because I felt that way at a point in my career too. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I was more driven by achieving things than I was by the real organic meaning of how to live a life properly. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that comes in the process.
Okay, so that kind of comes with how you got into the habit of, dare I say, blowing money fast?
I don't know.
Was it to feed this ego?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
My ego's unquenchable. You can't feed it. It's not
insatiable.
There's not enough money.
Right.
There's nothing. I don't possess enough anything to feed my ego. My ego's my driven force. I'm nothing without it.
Right, right. So tell me this. What was the first goal you set for yourself as a youngster?
Run 10 miles.
How hard did you work on it, and how long did it take you to achieve that first goal?
I don't know. Probably a month or two.
Okay. All right. So that's a short-term goal, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? You see, the first thing you do, he didn't say at first my first goal was to be a millionaire, or my first goal was to be the heavyweight champion of the world. His first goal was to run 10 miles. That's a short-term goal, people. And it took you about a month to do that.
Yeah.
And then that made you thirsty for the next goal.
Oh, absolutely. One right after another. And then one day I opened my eyes. I saw that I was so far superior to anything my eyes can see in my distance.
Right. Do you think that a man with power is a dangerous man?
To himself only.
Yeah. Because the power will drive you to do some shit that, you know what I'm saying? It's just, really, the power doesn't come to the man. It only comes to the ego.
No, it's the illusion of power.
Yeah.
What is power?
I think that is power is within perception. Your ability to do things.
There's some people that can get some people killed, but they can't talk their way out of a parking ticket.
Which brings me to my next point, that I heard you say champion is a mindset.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, necessarily winning the fight don't make you a champion.
No. Because look at that kid, right? I couldn't even learn that from this kid. What's his name? He just got killed. What's the young brother?
Which one?
Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, Nip.
Listen, right?
Long live Nip the Great.
This game is a marathon, baby. And it sounds cool and slick, but this is real.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy today that I was when I was champ.
But you're a champion today.
Oh, absolutely.
More so than you were when you actually held
back
the belt.
Back then, I was just champion by name, by word. I was no champion when I had the belt.
Right.
You know. I wasn't no champion.
Right. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, man, we kind of fit ourselves into success, and that kind of, we be seeking validation.
Oh, that was dedication, hard work.
Yeah.
That wasn't no champion.
Right.
Nah.
That was the result of muscle memory and natural ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, champion is actually like formulating your thoughts and directing your efforts and energy toward living a better life and kind of...
Oh, absolutely. Champion got to get beat up, too.
Yeah.
You can't be a champion unless you're not beat up and dragged in the dirt and kicked in your balls.
With no struggle, there's no progress.
No way.
You know, I think that's a lot of things that the kids today, like, they expect instant gratification.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
It's an illusion.
And they got this thing called clout. You know what I'm saying? Where people do it for the gram or do it online, but it isn't a true reflection of their real life. So that is the illusion of success.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I mean, motherfuckers want the success, the look of success, without the sacrifice to come with success and without the extra hard work that has to go into success.
It's just your perception of success.
Absolutely.
You know, no other success to me. A guy like me.
Ooh.
Me, Mike Tyson.
Right.
Me, this is what I'm doing here. This is not success for me, really. This is my dedication, working hard. This is me suffering. This is me losing 70 pounds to represent my company, to look good for my company. This is my ego.
Right.
You know?
Hey, listen, man. If you are still
today, this year, in 2020, using one of the big wireless providers, you have to ask yourself, what are you paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of most likely because they know you'll pay. That's why Mint Mobile's here. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage that you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost, because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations. They don't have to pay as much overhead. They don't have to pay as much marketing on those expensive commercials. And everything they save, they pass those savings on directly to you. Now, I have two Mint Mobile phones that I have passed out to my team for me and them to use as we communicate with each other, man, doing business across the country. And I gotta tell you, the experience has been no different than any other carrier. It's great fast coverage, same as T-Mobile, as a matter of fact, and all of the same features that you're used to. Talk, text, check out all your favorite websites online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. Now with Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data that you never use. Choose plans between 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/TIP. That's mintmobile.com/TIP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TIP.
Going from the youngest heavyweight champion in the world and assuming at your high point, like how much bridge you think you, like, you know what I'm saying, you had commanded at your high, at the height.
From what perspective you're talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, like, as a youngster, before you evolved as a man and went through your metamorphosis, early on as the young heavyweight champion of the world, how much money had you assumed at that point in your life?
A couple of hundred million.
All right. So a couple hundred million. Because I always say that you can really, really tell a person who came from nothing, gained it all, lost it all, and got it back again. A person that did everything right to me, that's, you know, it's not fun to watch.
No, listen, that's an awesome game to play. That's to live the game. You say the game where I've never been arrested, I never got in trouble.
Right,
I'm
on.
The person I am. That would have been a great game that I played.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have been able, sophisticated enough. Let me say that. I would love to have been sophisticated enough to play that game.
Right, right, right.
But I wasn't.
Right.
I wasn't born with the sophistication. I wasn't born with the know-how. I was born with my rawness.
Right.
My rawness expressed who I was.
I think you was, man. I think it was the elements. You know what I mean?
No, I think I had to go through what I went through to be who I am.
That's real.
You know?
That's real.
I had to find out who I was to find out who I was not.
And that's a lot of things that I think that, like, being honest with oneself and realizing, having a sense of self early on.
That's a tough It's a tough project, you know. That we want to do everything else, but what we do more than anything, avoid more than anything, are human beings. Avoid knowing who we are.
Yeah.
We invest so much in somebody else to help somebody else, but we don't want to invest in to find out who we are. We may not like ourselves. Then then we don't know how to fix ourselves.
Yeah. How does it feel to lose 250 million, a couple hundred million, Mike?
Round four.
How the fuck does that feel, Mike?
Liberating.
Like the Joker setting a pile of money on fire.
Yeah, real liberating.
And what were some of the greatest lessons that you learned from that process?
I don't know. That money is meant to share with your friends.
Okay.
That's less fortunate than you.
Okay.
How do I feel? Look, really, listen, all right, me and you are talking, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's me and you, two niggas, right?
That's right.
In the gutter, right?
That's right.
All right, I got $400 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I feel that I have it and you don't?
That's some real nigga shit, right?
No, how do I feel? Do I feel I'm flyer than you? How do I feel?
I mean, if you
I should be fucking flogged. I should be living in pictures and I should be flogged every fucking day.
Right.
That's just what it is. So if I have that money, I can't give it away fast enough. I can't buy enough cars for pretty girls. That's just who I am.
I mean, shit, bro. I think if you are a man of integrity, you want the same for your brother as you do for yourself.
100%.
You dig what I'm saying?
100%. You have to.
But you got to get. But it got to come with the knowledge, the same knowledge that you have, and the same effort that you put in to have the same that you have.
I don't know. Everyone gets knowledge at different times.
Okay.
People grasp knowledge at different times. We won't all grasp it at the same moment.
That's real.
And it's just meant. God, Allah didn't make no mistakes.
Right.
Everybody endured what they endured for some reason. We're born for a reason. We're born to enrich the earth.
That's right.
That's what we're here for. You think there's any other purpose we're here for? Why would God even make you? You really think you just come from your mother and father? You don't think it's bigger than that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a purpose.
Oh,
that's a bigger picture. Fast forwarding to today, you have evolved into a multimedia conglomerate. You own a 40-acre marijuana ranch. You're an avid aficionado.
It's like 400. Well, it was like 1,400 acres, really.
It's 1,400?
Grown, yes.
Okay. 1,400. A 1,400-acre marijuana enthusiast ranch.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Marijuana-friendly resort.
Okay.
It's a ranch, yes.
Absolutely. Now, so is this separate from dispensaries or?
Well, no, well, you could say, well, it is different from dispensaries, but it's like a dispensary. It's a ranch of marijuana.
Right.
It's the mother of dispensaries.
You did. I mean, I heard
you could purchase marijuana. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In your hotel room, in the room, in your glamour.
Yeah.
In
the mini bar.
In your camping. Yeah. Your glamping place. You can buy. Yeah.
That shit does sound cool as hell, man. And that's in. You say Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs. At least 2 hours from here.
Yeah. That's some cool shit.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the first of its kind. It's never been done before. A cannabis resort, which sells both cannabis and liquor, it's never done before. No one's never had that license.
Who had the vision, though?
I would say it was my partner, Rob Hickman. He discussed it with me because I believe my brother-in-law had purchased a couple of dispensaries and it wasn't really going the way and it wasn't as sexy as we thought it was going to be. You know, we had jumped in because it looked sexy without being properly educated, and Rob helped us out and decided, why don't we just become the king of all the cannabis? So we won't have this problem no more. And
cannabis champion.
Yes, yes. We won a few cannabis cups and stuff, which I'm really
That's
proud
fine.
Of.
That's fine.
Yeah.
What got you into weed, bro?
Well, weed is who I am. You know, I don't
right
have to
on.
Hide with it no more. And
did you ever fight high?
Once in my life. I got fined $250,000, though.
Yeah, who was that?
Andrew Galata.
Did you still beat him?
Oh, I displayed the worst beating in the history of my
On some good shit.
Yeah, breaking bones, eye sockets, cheekbones, necks. It's, man, it's putting it down, nigga.
You did that on a joint? That don't sound like a joint.
No, that was a joint. It's, yeah, it's a cocaine ass whooping. That's a cocaine ass whooping right there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's that cocaine, nigga. I don't know cocaine, but that's that cocaine ass whooping.
Yeah. Some shit, bro. Like... How did you prepare for your fights, though, at the time?
I don't know. I used to listen. It wasn't smart, because this is how my mind thinks.
What were the protocol?
Whatever you did, if I was running, do it as much as you can. If you have to finish that day later on that night, let's run again.
Right.
Let's do 2 a-days and stuff like that. Let's go to the gym twice a day.
So you're a man of excess.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Extremist. I can share in that enthusiasm.
Extremely extreme.
Yeah. Likewise. Did you listen to music?
Yeah, I listened to rap.
One of the most infamous things that you have is the way you entered the ring. You just had like a hole in a towel that you threw over your head. Wasn't no real music. You had one like tone. Like what
wanted
the
to succeed.
What the fuck was that? Who thought of that?
I don't know. I just wanted to succeed. Yeah, were you born in the 70s?
Hell no.
When were you born in?
1980.
What, 80? All right, cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. But listen,
September 25th, 1980.
Say somebody, I'm 14 years old then. Fuck. So listen. Right? So I'm saying to myself, a young black kid that's seen what I've seen in my life, right?
Right.
You never thought about I was going to be some superstar, people be filming me everywhere. I never wanted and never thought about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wanted to be a criminal. I wanted to be a gangster my whole life because that's the only one that had the best girls, the best cars, the best clothes, the best.
Those were the examples you had.
Yeah.
The examples of success.
I wanted to be some. I wanted to be a killer. Everybody respect killers where I'm from. If you ain't kill nobody, you ain't shit.
Talk about Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brownsville, Brooklyn. You ain't kill nobody. You ain't mean nothing, nigga. Fuck you.
Right.
I wanted to live that life. And nobody would ever think I started boxing. And once I met Cuss, I was going to rob them too. What they say? No, that's who I was. That's who I was. I was when they got us, wow, these white people got all this shit up here. I'm looking
for to hit these motherfuckers.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, listen, know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Trading Place. Remember Eddie Murphy?
Still
said, they said, listen, this is yours. All of this is yours. You don't have to steal nothing. This is yours. This is yours. Why would
say,
you?
Say, well, I'm still going to take yours. Me some of this shit.
Yeah. And Eddie was so smart because that's how I felt.
Right.
This is mine and I still wanted to steal it.
You know what? Hey, man, Eddie from Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, he's from Brownsville. Ask him. He's from Tilden Park.
Yeah, there's no coincidence that both of you guys have this mentality.
And so that's the that was the deal. This is my shit, but I still want to steal it. But where am I going to take it? Maybe take it and trade it for some money or something.
Right.
Because that's the mentality I had. And this guy just showed me all my good qualities and told me what I can do and made me believe in myself. First, I believed in him, and then he made me believe in myself. And I go from being a guy with the lowest self-esteem, yes, a piece of, to think that I should be, my name should be ranked with Alexander the Great and Achilles. How does that happen? How does this guy that's a piece of shit that comes from nothing, that don't think nothing about himself, think he has the nerve to be with Alexander the Great?
I think that's the extremist in you, because if you are... if you lack confidence, you're going to do so in the most extreme ways.
Yeah.
And when you gain confidence,
fuck up in the extreme.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you and I both have that in common. And when you have confidence, you're going to have extreme confidence.
Oh, yeah,
through the roof.
The balance. Before it was like boom.
Right.
Never was this way.
Right.
And that's what my wife did. I'm balanced.
My wife been trying to do that with me for quite some time, but she's she's getting better.
Just
getting
better. I'm so happy. I'm happy. Without my wife, I'm a savage animal.
I can concur. Ooh. I can concur. Which brings so single versus married, obviously, married life to you has been far better.
Yeah, 10 years. Can you imagine that? 10 years?
So this is your second marriage?
Third.
The first one you don't even count.
No, I count them all, because I look at women differently as I get older.
I get that.
And I'm young, I look at them as pleasure.
Okay.
Then when I'm middle-aged, I look at them as just, you know, to have.
Yeah.
To make me realize that I'm a man. And when I get at this stage in my life, they're my teachers. If a man not apprehensive of, well, let me use the word fear. If a man doesn't have a little bit of fear of his wife, he's not living his right life right.
It does. It does. It does. It colors you inside the lines more.
Well, no doubt. Well, someone like me,
yeah.
I can't live my life. That's why I got married 3 times, because I can't live without a wife. I have to live. If I don't have a wife, I'll kill myself. I'm savage. Somebody will kill me. Oh, no, that's real talk.
Well, yeah.
I need somebody to listen to. I'm just that person.
I get
I'm a soldier. I can't do it. I can't think on my own. I need somebody to listen to. On my own, I'm violent.
Now, the knowledge of that, coming to that conclusion, that's important, I think, for the next generation to know, too.
No, I know myself.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about relationship with two people. One, I just want to hear some stories. One, I feel that you feel very positive about. The other, I think, not so much. Hey, say, man, let Jeff power the discussion for a minute so we can talk about a real, 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 real sensitive topic that a lot of people don't want to make a big deal about, but it seems to be a big deal to everyone. If you can't tell what I'm talking about already, I'm talking about sex. Now, with all the stress and anxiety that life can sometimes throw at you, the last thing you need to worry about is being able to perform in the bedroom. It's like getting all the way to the finish line and not being able to break the tape. You know what I mean? So if you're looking to have more intimate relationships and possibly a deeper connection, try the chewables from BlueChew.com. Yeah, you heard me. Blue Chew offers men just like you a performance enhancement for the bedroom. At BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but they're chewables, so they work faster. So you can get to the bedroom and turn up ASAP. You dig what I'm saying? Now, with Blue Chew, there's no awkward doctor visit, and they send it to you in discreet packaging, so you ain't got to worry about all your neighbors being all up in your business, you know what I mean? It's time for you to be confident in the bedroom every time, all the time, okay? Now, here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code TIP. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TIP. Now, they pay me to say it, so chew it and do it. I want to talk about your relationship with Tupac.
Tupac?
Yeah.
In a weird way, he was like a Roman general. I don't know if I should say it, but yeah, I should say it. I say that because...
Sure you can.
He he took himself real serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He had a great deal of self-respect and dignity.
Right.
And a lot of people, especially at the time, they couldn't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, they can't conceive of that. That's almost threatening. That's almost like challenging someone.
Right.
You know?
You have the self-respect.
And I don't know if he noticed that.
Yeah.
You know, he was just an amazing guy.
Right on.
He was just ahead of his time, and that's why he's not with us no more. He was just ahead of his time.
Mm.
Biggie the same way, too. And you know, when I listened to their music, they always talked about dying, and I'm ready to die, and this and that. And your tongue is your reality.
Now, tell me one of your most fondest memories of Tupac, please.
Him coming to visit me in prison.
Gotcha.
And he's talking, and he's so excited, he's so animated. And then all of a sudden, we're outside, he jumps on the table, and I'm like, and the cop and the guards are looking at him. I'm like, come down. I say, get down from there. Come here. Stop. Come down now. And he's on the table. I said, what's wrong? I said, come down. Please, get down. And so he got down, and the guard was getting ready to come out, and then the guard went back, and I said, what the fuck? You know, he was like, the guards didn't like him. The prisoner really liked him, because when he came, the inmates got rowdy and pumped up. And that's like a safety situation there. So they really didn't like him there. But he was just like a bolt of energy. When he came in, everybody knew him. He had mad respect. And I guess that's how he lived his life. He demanded respect.
Absolutely.
When the word came out, he had just came to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went out and he went to land. He had shot two police police officers.
Yeah.
And everybody in the prison went crazy. It was like a riot. Everybody went crazy.
Tupac was here.
Yeah, they were crazy when they saw him. He had so much fucking power.
You know, I did a lot of, you know, observing of Pac's actions and stuff, you know what I'm saying? When I was young, like, I feel like I brought Pop back to Atlanta, at least by way of a tape that I bought from the store. You know what I'm saying? Back when nobody heard of Pop in Atlanta, I heard him when my homies called. That record made me go buy his album, and I think that shit was, like you said, ahead of his time. He was speaking liberation. You know what I mean? He was speaking retribution. He was speaking, you know what I mean? So I think, you know what I'm saying, that. But I always ask people who I know had a close connection with them what that was like. Now, this next person I'm going to talk to you about, you probably don't want to talk about.
Go. I talk about everybody.
All right. Tell me how you feel about Don King.
Don King's an interesting guy. I used to talk to Don, and Don is cool. I'm not mad at Don anymore.
Okay.
And stuff.
But you was upset with him for a pretty long time.
Yeah, for an extensive feud. Yeah, I have right to be mad. I have right to.
What happened, Mike?
Because Don steals so fucking much. You know, Don just fucking steals. He can't help it. And I'm not going to. Listen, I'm sorry if Don gets offended, but he knows I'm telling him the truth. And he just fucking steals. Fucking nigga steals. Fucking nigga.
So tell me one of the most like outrageous moments with Don.
Oh, me and Don had many times that we listen one time. Oh fuck.
You gotta tell me, man.
All right, listen, let me just
Come on, man, you got to tell me.
All right, so I'm married to Robin Gibbons at the time, but we're divorced, and she began divorce, right?
All
right. And so I got to go get my money. I got to go to my trust, get this money, right? So I go to the bank, and I can't find the money.
Right.
I have some little fucking bullshit, 1.8, but it's a bullshit. So I'm trying to find some money. We can't find the money, but the fucking people in the bank hated Robin's guts so fucking much. They said, we know where the account's at, and they came over, and that's against the law. You can't even do that. They came and they showed us the account. They got the money out the account, gave us the money, so we got like $14 million in cash. And we got, you know how heavy that is.
I don't per se, but I know.
We got fucking money, and we just hanging around, and every time we buy something, we go in the bag with the fucking money. And we buy it just like some niggas.
Yeah.
We got millions of dollars. We go in the bag. Hey, what, you need some cologne? Yeah, I take some money. You're like, go in the store, get cologne.
Right.
We didn't think to put it back in another account.
Carry this shit.
We gonna ball, motherfucker.
How long did this go on, bro?
It never stopped. never stop. When they run by, we go back.
And some more money.
We start fighting again.
Damn,
man. We start promoting fights, man.
That's what's God. Up, man. Shit. Man, those are like...
We were in there when they were giving us the money. It took so long to get the money out. We had to order pizza. We ordered pizza, Chinese food. We're eating in the bag.
We're not leaving without this motherfucking money.
Yeah, let's live a long fucking time. Fuck.
And when she found out about that, how did they...
I don't know.
You don't know.
I know, anybody that be talking to them dope boys, be talking they have millions and millions of dollars, they must have been some big, strong motherfuckers to carry that money. So don't tell me, nigga, you got $10 million here, you got $1 million here, right. And you carried this. You ain't Arnold Schwarzenegger, motherfucker. He's around your side and say they got $20 million upstairs. No, yeah. You don't. Did you try carrying it?
Man, I don't care.
So when they be telling
me
they got
some
people
thousands.
Tell me they got $1 million in cash, and you, nah, they ain't buff, nigga. They don't got no million.
Yeah, I carried $100,000 at a time back
it's
and forth.
It's heavy, baby.
It is.
It's heavy.
But you know, now they get all hundreds.
Listen, $1 million and $100 is heavy.
Yeah. I bet you I'm going to get that shit out of here, Mike. Yeah. You can do the Pepsi challenge on me. Oh, I guarantee you. I'm going to get that motherfucker out of here, baby.
I'm going to
get that motherfucker out of here, baby.
That's when it's in that thing. Stop. Oh, keep walking. Don't stop. Just keep walking.
Shit, yeah,
call
man.
Call a cab. Call a cab.
Now,
keep walking.
I seen you in a clip earlier, man. You was doing some shadow boxing.
No, I was just showing some young kids some lethal ways of winning.
Is it true that one of your sons box?
No way. My kids are all erudites and shit. He's getting ready to go to Yale, Stanford over here somewhere.
Man, I saw
I
a clip.
Would try to you, box.
You couldn't see none of your sons like doing no shit like that?
Hey, anybody's probably, I just can't see it. Their life is too good. In order to be a fighter, you have to have nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when you're a fighter, that means you had no other choice.
Right.
Nothing else you could do.
That's real.
Yeah, so listen, these guys are going to Ivy League. What are they going to do? I can't. Look, imagine if I had to do what they did, right?
Uh-huh.
Imagine if I had to fill out a job for them. That would be really funny. That would be something that you should be on Comedy fucking Watch.
Why you say that?
Oh, watching me do a fucking job for him. Oh, that's going to be a teetering job.
Man, how...
I would have to do what? My social security number, which I fucking don't know. Think up shit, how to spell my fucking middle name and all that bullshit. See, these guys, that's, for them, that's no problem.
Right.
What?
Gotcha.
You know, they use their brain for something. My son, I have one son... He's everything I wish I could have been.
I feel the same way.
I wish I could have been him.
I feel the same way.
Oh, I'm so fucking jealous and envious. But I love him to death.
These fucking guys, they have phenomenal lives, yeah, don't
incredible.
They?
Incredible. Fuck. I wish I had me for a father. God, look at these kids.
That's what makes us good fathers, though. You know what I'm saying? All a good father is one of two things. Either someone who had an incredible example of a father and has the blueprint so he follows in his footsteps, or someone who aims to be the father that they wish they had.
Yeah, that must be it.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
Must be, because like, I know he's the son, he's the guy I wish I was when I was a kid.
Right.
And shit.
That's dope. That's dope.
And know what bothers me too? I gotta say.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's hear it.
Why my kids don't like black kids? My kids don't date black kids. Why is that? Why is that?
I don't know, man. They're so fucking rich. They gotta give us somebody who speaks their language.
Is that real talk, though?
I mean, but you're gonna see the thing. The odds are you're gonna send your kids to Ivy League schools from the time they're small, right? Okay, and when you go there, they communicate with the kids that they're around. And most of those kids are going to be little white kids.
I think sometimes, like, if I look at my daughter and I say, and I see her, and I see that she's attracted to white guys, and I say to myself, I didn't set a good example as a black man then.
I don't think that's it.
But that's just my mind goes. Like, my mind goes, they must have seen me sometimes when I was vulnerable and said, hey, I don't want to be with no one like that. I don't want no one to talk to. Hey, scary. I don't want to be with somebody like that.
But do you think that they assert that much association with color?
They're smart.
With race, I should say.
Ooh, they're smarter than you think, yes. Because my son said that's a why, you know, I said, I don't like, because I see how my sister act. Oh, I said, whoa, that blew
my
mind.
That's crazy.
I said, what? How do your sister act? Your sister's awesome.
Right.
You know, I think it's the aggressiveness. I think it's confrontational stuff. They think I don't see that. I see black women. I see lust and stuff. And I think that I don't think about fighting with them.
Nah.
I don't think about the aggressive. I think that's even more so. It's just so weird that they think of confrontation. It's not going to be cool. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't like her?
Right.
I don't understand the concept. I don't understand their vision, what they see, the illusion of beauty. Or what do they see?
That
confused me with my kids. What do they see? How come they can't see what I see?
I mean, because it's like you said, the same way, the way you were brought up and the way what you were brought up around and what they brought up around. You know what I mean? I think that has a lot to do with it.
I'm not, and I know I gotta go to typical. I'm not a racist. I just don't see that.
No, concept. You ain't got to be seen as a racist
I think. But they're strictly, I'm not going there. They know they're not going there.
Where?
They're black. They know they're not going there. They just know they're not going.
Why? I think as long as they're happy, though, Mike.
Yeah.
As long as they're happy, bro. As long as they're happy and they can live the most. I mean, because, I mean, I will say, if every black person could have some white people in their family, I think that the world would be a better place.
Yeah, you're right. I like that.
You know? What I'm saying, because I have my mother-in-law, she's a white lady, Miss Diane, and I love her to death. She loved me to death. My family's her family, her family's my family, so we don't necessarily see the color now. Now this is just my family member.
Your world, if they lived in your world, but right. I never lived in these people's world. I worked to get to this world. My kids and them, they're born in this world.
Right.
In my world, I'm still a different. I'm still in my mind. I'm different than them.
Well, you are. You are.
You know.
And I'm very different than
you. My grind was different than theirs.
This is true because a lot of theirs was already in the bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Take Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. You know what I'm saying? All these people, they achieved phenomenal things and did great business and had just enormous strategy to their lives ending up where it is right now. But I say that I'm one of them. Now do that shit as a nigga. If you could have did the same thing you did, Steve Jobs, as a black man, I think that picture would be different. Same thing for Bill Gates. Same thing for Warren Buffett. Doing it as a black man is complete. There are so many avenues and obstacles that are created just because of the color of your skin,
really?
As soon as you walk in the door, yeah.
I used to believe that, and I used to believe about the black stuff, and I come to believe. I believe that my consciousness supersedes my color.
I believe that as well.
I believe, no matter what color I am, no matter who I was, I will be successful.
I believe that as well.
I just believe that's just what it is. I believe my color doesn't have nothing to do with it. I believe that in the beginning of life, and as I got conscious, I believe that I'm. I just believe that I'm in far superior than everything else around me, and I'm doing this and I'm succeeding because I'm better. That's the reason.
I agree with you there, but let's take the times, right, where there were doors slammed in your face after people had written you off, called you crazy, and motherfucker were trying to.
That happened.
I know it. The motherfucker. So in that moment, if you were a white man, do you think that same shit would have happened?
Depends on what white man I was.
Okay.
If I'm some poor cracker in the fucking the fucking wild in fucking Georgia somewhere, I'm finished, nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm finished.
Right on.
Yeah. I see what they do to them on the YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, I be finished.
Mm. Miraculously, man, you have put this shit all the way back together, and you have assumed a whole nother, I guess, shot at success in life with ideas that don't even come from boxing.
Well, I changed my thinking.
Right on.
I changed my belief. The reason why I had that life and everything was going by because I was a hater. You know what I mean? When you're a hater, I didn't know the laws of life.
Right on.
And when you're a hater and the shit you throw out, it comes back. I didn't know that. All that shit, I got in trouble all the time, the rape and all that shit. That's because I was a hater back then. Hating people, intimidating, doing all that bullshit.
Jealous
of people and shit.
So when you putting this shit all the way back together, would you say one of the most the key things that you started this I ain't gonna call it a comeback, but this reestablishing of your success, would that be the one man show that you did?
No, it all established with my wife believing in me.
Jeez.
It all comes back to that, cause she like I said, she for sick. She said, we're going to get a show. We're going to get, you know, I'm fucking OD'd, and she's putting the ice on me, and she's telling me what we're going to do.
Mm.
She said, it's going to be all right. We're going to get a production company. We have nothing. We're living, it's just really bad at the time.
Damn.
And from a $400 million nigga to that, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Nigga, yeah, so that's just what it was. And she just said, this is what we're going to do, and this is what's happening. Everything that we're doing now, my wife said, this is what we're going to do.
Mm.
We're going to get our reality show. We're going to get our production company. And this is why I'm OD'd on fucking cocaine and liquor. She's swooping me down, and she's telling me, this is what we're going to do, and this is what happened.
Mm.
And this is just what it is. And that's why I believe in what I believe in now. Because there's no way this can be happening. No way I could be married to my wife. I'm not faithful enough. I'm not, you know, it's, I'm just not that kind of guy. I don't care about nobody enough more than my dick.
Right.
So how am I going to be faithful to somebody? But it worked. I got 10 years with her.
Right.
I got, what, two years without ever fucking a bitch with my wife.
Man, congratulations.
No, for a nigga like me,
I know that nigga very well, Mike.
I have to have him every day. I couldn't live without him.
I know that nigga very well, Mike.
Nobody's enough. I gotta come every second of the day. So I know. I know when you have that illness, what happens to you?
Do you
slave? Yeah.
Do you now, Mike?
Nobody knows like me. Trust me. I'm the social boy. I'm the fucking poster boy for Sexual Anonymous, man. Pick Anonymous, whatever it is.
I felt like that as well, Mike. You know what I'm saying? And I would proudly say that I, too, am successfully in recovery.
God bless you, brother.
A day at a time.
I don't want to bless that on my worst enemy.
Well, it's not that bad,
Mike. No, I wouldn't.
There's been worse things, Mike.
No, yeah, they have been. But for me, that's my worst. I don't want that no more.
I mean.
Yeah, that's bad.
I get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so all of these things that you've accumulated, you know, the wins versus the losses, the good and the bad, it all led up right here into the evolution of a man that came from nothing to something.
And it all comes down from the basics is just evolving in life.
Yeah.
Our involvement is basically evolving to not to exist anymore.
So tell me, yeah, absolutely. So as you evolve, it's all the circle of life. You know what I'm saying? We all coming and going. The time is fleeting. Got time here, but when our time is up, we will feed the earth again. And
our body will.
Yeah, absolutely. That part of us, our soul, it transcends into the next. It evolves into the next level of life, whatever that is. But in this evolution, tell me, what are three books that you recommend, like, that have impacted or changed your life?
Really? The Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss. Nicole Machiavelli, The Prince.
Okay.
And I like Plato's Republic. They fuck around, you know.
Okay.
Fucking my head.
Right.
Isn't that really like fucking my
head? Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because you ever tried reading Friedrich Nietzsche or something before? You know who he is?
No.
Yeah, but Friedrich Nietzsche, if you read his book, it'll be almost impossible to read.
You know, gotcha.
You read this book, this fucking guy's diction is fucking off the fucking IQ scale, right?
Okay.
So Friedrich Nietzsche is Cat in the Hat in simple forms.
Okay, man. I'm gonna go look into some Friedrich Nietzsche and juxtapose it against Cat in the Hat, and we'll talk again about it. But
if you could do a sentence of Friedrich Nietzsche, please write me and tell me what he said.
Yes, indeed. Now, as we already know, man, it's a new year, and I'm sure you want to keep growing your team, but you need the right tools to help keep your hiring streamlined and efficient. That's where ZipRecruiter.com comes in. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply
to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. I said the first day, you know what I mean? With a payoff like that, what do you really have to lose? I mean, unless you enjoy the people who are working for you right now, you obviously need help, or else we wouldn't be having this discussion. Well, anyway, as of right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TI. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TI. ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/TI. Now, go and get it out there, man, so you can get your business going.
You're listening to Expeditiously on Podcast One.
What's the most humbling experience you think you've gone through?
I don't know, losing my daughter, 4-year-old daughter. I lost my daughter.
God damn.
I thought that was just really humbling
to
me.
God bless.
Yeah, it's bad too, but then again, right? When I feel suicidal in a man, and then again, I might walk by a fucking mirror or something, a broken car, and then I might see a reflection of myself, and then I might think I'm beautiful. And then everything's great again.
Right.
That's how my mind works. I'm an egomaniac. Yeah, I'm a megalomaniac. Oh, man, I hate the way I think about myself sometimes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a self-diagnosed narcissist. And I think me being able to understand that potential of myself allows me to kind of navigate through it a lot better. I think you have that ability,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but no, listen, I have this mentality, but then I say, oh, God gave me this. How could it be bad? You know, I feel bad that I feel this way about myself, and I think great about myself, and I think I'm a fly. And then I said, why did God make me this way? I want to stop, but I can't.
I mean, it was meant for you. As long as you can control it and it not control you. And I think the only thing that allows you that, the anchoring that you have is your connection with God. You giving it all back to God allows you to control it and it not to control you.
I like that. I like hearing that. I've been working on trying to control that.
Yeah.
I've been listening to my wife.
There you go.
I've been listening to it.
Me too.
People laugh at me, but I listen to my wife because I don't listen to my... I'm one of those guys that can self-destruct with my ego because I think I'm God. I'm self-destruct. I destroy myself. I have to have... That's why I have... I'm just that way. You know, like I'm one of those guys that can get souped up and walk off a cliff or something. You know what I mean? I think I'm invincible sometimes. I start getting high.
Well, man, I want to say, I want to thank you.
Oh, it's over?
Nah, man, I'm telling you, I'm thanking you for your contribution. Your contribution to the generation, bro. Like, for real. It's niggas like me and niggas like us that grow up in the places like where we come from. We don't have no examples of success for real. Like, unless there's some niggas who had to sell out to make it. You know what I mean?
Hey, but you have to look at, that's why you were born. You were born here to enrich the world. You were born here for people to see you.
Right.
When the right person see you, then you have to go and meet God. We're here for a special person to see. That's what we're all here for. And when that person says, we don't know
you
who
you think
it's
are. Person or people?
Well, what it is, it's something. It's somebody that has to see us before we go.
Right, right.
And that's when we go, when that person says, I don't know who it is.
I sure hope it's my grandbabies.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's somebody you have no relationship, but they have to see you.
They have to see
go.
Me. Right.
So you could take them to that next level.
Right, to become a part of their evolution.
I know you might think I'm crazy, but yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're crazy.
That's all we do. We speak. Man sharpen man.
That's right. Steel sharpen steel. Absolutely. I think the level of experiences that we've had and the extremities of our actions, near-death experiences, taking it to the brink of it, and figuring out how to put it all back together. Like, those experiences lend themselves to a certain awareness, you know, a certain consciousness, you dig? And I just like, you know, hearing you talk about how at one time you didn't love yourself.
Oh, absolutely. How could I? I don't care how much money I got, how much success I have. I've never been learned to love myself. That's a process. It doesn't come over my head that you love yourself. You're born. Hey, I love myself. Am I so beautiful? I can't help but love myself. It doesn't happen. You think the first thing is the worst of yourself. My dick is not as big as everybody else's dick. I'm not as smart as everybody else.
I'm the exact opposite. I think I'm smarter than everybody else, and my dick is bigger than everybody else.
That's psychological, too, because there's some people that have nothing but think they have everything.
That's
and
real.
Get everything.
And we're both probably wrong.
Yeah. It's what you believe.
It's exactly what you believe. So
right.
I think people who are arrogant, they do that so they won't lack confidence.
No, we do that because we're insecure.
Yeah, that means so they won't lack confidence.
We can't have confidence only comes from action.
Right.
You know, you don't get it from your...
But it's a different level of arrogance, right? Because there's arrogance that's obnoxious. You dig what I'm saying? Like, I think I'm better than you kind of arrogance. And then there's, you know, understanding of one's value. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, you know, we're sophisticated and eloquent in our awareness of our value, but we're too disciplined to become overtly arrogant. You see what I'm saying?
We're old enough and we've seen enough.
Right.
And know where that's going to lead us.
Right.
We're not going to win.
That's real.
You know, we're not going to win. Everything I would do now, it's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, being an asshole is not going to win. I've been
Absolutely.
An asshole before. I lost. Okay? Whatever. I've been the player, the player lover, homie, player, Mac man, love, whatever. I lost.
Okay.
All right? So I'm not that guy. I'm not those two guys no more. I'm only going to do what I'm going to win in.
That's real.
You know, showing love, charity.
Uh-huh.
Looking out, I'm winning in that.
Right.
Helping people get jobs. I'm winning in that.
Yeah.
I'm not winning in being the fly nigga on the street with the fly clothes and trying to hustle people and get some pussy on the side. I lost.
Gotcha.
Those are the games I lost in.
But this is the one you winning. And speaking of winning, the wins versus the losses, this like let's talk a little bit more about this this resort.
Yeah, this is going to be really
marijuana
cool.
friendly.
It's never been
resort.
Anything like this in the history of getting high.
We finally have a yeah. safe place to get high.
Yes, a safe place to get high and a place where you will be respected and treated like a king or a queen that you are of highness.
That's right.
Yes, really.
Your highness. Welcome, Your Highness.
Exactly. It's going to be other. If you bring kids to the side where we have on the other side, where you can be at Top Golf, Trader Lounge, Fun and Run, the kids section, it's just amazing. So,
and it's 1,400 acres,
yes,
isn't
it? Yes, it is.
1,400 acres, man.
Yes.
Growing weed all the way through it.
Well, growing. There's also a university there for we can educate you about weed and the extraction of weed from the hemp and everything.
Okay.
We have a lady river that I believe is probably an acre long, and it's going to be great. We have glamping, very high-end camping out there, and it's really...
Okay.
The first of its kind.
And I can't wait to come see this
It'll
motherfucker.
It'll be like the eighth
man.
One in the world of really adult activity. You know?
So
we're thinking about putting a strip club out there with an open roof.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You may as well just a little bit, man. Why like in the dog court?
I don't know. It'll be like 100,000 people there. What you saying?
If out of 100,000 people, if 100,000 people is on site, I'd say maybe 7,500 to 10,000 will want to go to a strip club.
I agree 100%. It's enough land. It's just going to be awesome. We're going to have horses there. We're going to have probably tigers, lion bears. We're going to have all kinds of things there as well. It's going to be exotic, extremely exotic.
I want to know what got you into actual real estate development.
I saw this movie.
That's another thing we have
it's
in common.
Interesting. I saw this movie about the founder of McDonald's.
Yeah, the founder, that movie. Yeah, I saw it too.
And what it really was, they sold burgers, but what the real money was the real estate.
That's right.
He really was in the real estate, but he was selling burgers, but his real money came from the real estate.
That's right.
And so that was saying, God is not making any more of it.
That's right.
So why don't we... captivate as much of it as we can.
Yeah.
And I notice when you have land, people, as I said before, they're not making any more. It's pretty much of a shortage of it. And people need it to perform and to do
mm-hmm.
things. And
mm-hmm.
so people come and they offer to purchase our land,
mm-hmm.
lease it, of course, in
right.
order for a certain amount of time, a duration, in order to use it for their
mm-hmm.
best interest. And I found out that's more interesting than selling marijuana.
You dig what I'm saying?
That's more interesting than selling marijuana. I never in my life in a million years thought a guy like me with like an eighth grade education and never went to school and not great on writing and stuff and spelling, how the fuck I own all this stuff and I'm in the real estate business. I thought you had to go to college to do this shit and make it all all this money, I'm saying to myself, it's all for the grace of God because I left my hating spirit alone. All that hating I used to be and trying to be fly and intimidating guys to make them look bad, to make me look good, and all that stuff. And all that.
You humbled yourself.
Yeah, all that stopped once I start giving.
Right.
Once I start showing respect and loving, showing respect to myself, things change. Showed respect to my wife, stop fucking bitches, and yes, this is my life, I'm going to be with you, and whatever nut I got left, I'm going to give it to her.
See, that's like, you know, what you put into life is what you will receive back.
Yeah, I agree. I truly, listen, I just learned that now in my life. I learned everything you throw out come back.
Everything that you do will be done.
All hating people that come back.
Yeah. Everything, all the shit you do will be done.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything you put out will return.
Absolutely. I'm a strong believer.
That's why I try to make sure the good outweighs the bad. That's why when you say things to me like, you know, I look like I have my shit together. See, the thing about having your shit together is very funny. Because every time you look like you have your shit together, you do at that time. But as people see you as having your shit together, then they expect more from you. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
What you expect from yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And that has to always supersede what they expect. What I expect from me will always be greater than what others expect from me. So, you know what I'm saying? So they might see me as, well, you haven't achieved this yet. Well, okay, but I've achieved all of these things, and that is what I expect of myself. Now that I have seen that, okay, I should expect these things of myself too. In time, it will evolve into a place where it will be closer to perfect. But right now, I'm mid-evolution.
And it's beautiful, and I'm going through the process as well. You know, I look at myself and I say, when I'm out in the streets, I represent not only me. That's my selfishness, I represent me. That's my dick. But now, no, that's funny. No, really. But now, it's when I'm out in the street, I represent my family.
That's real.
When I represent my family, I look the best I can look.
That's real.
I look the most beautiful I can look.
That's real.
I represent my wife and our family. And that's how I live my life now. All my conduct, you know what I mean? The conduct of me is, you know what I mean, is the representation of my family.
Hey, man, it's time for NFL playoff action, okay? So head over to betonline.ag and you can still win the $500 weekly prize by playing against your favorite podcast host, like yours truly. The playoffs continue until the divisional round, and every play, every possession, the game is on the line. Now, here are the biggest matchups for the week. These are my picks, you know what I mean? Y'all can, you know, see if y'all agree with me or you can go against me. Let's see how that turns out. Biggest matchups. We got Minnesota at San Francisco. Now, as hot as Minnesota has been, you know what I'm saying, and as much of a role as their own, in San Francisco, going against the red and gold, I'm going to have to go with the 4-9, man. Tennessee at Baltimore. Baltimore, man, is going to take that one. I think they're going to be an easy W, man, unless something catastrophically out of the ordinary happens. Texas at Kansas City. The Houston Texans, man, shot the world last week, man, by overcoming that deficit that they had to win that game in overtime last week. But I believe Kansas City gonna pull this one off. Seattle at Green Bay. This is probably gonna be the best game of the week. I see Seattle going here and coming away with that victory, man. Even though I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan and I really believe in the pack, I think it's Seattle year, man. So those are my picks, man. Whoever y'all pick, man, if y'all going against me, man, good luck. You know what I mean? Let's see how that turn out, man. Holler at me next week. All right? Visit our friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One, PodcastOne, for your 50% sign-up bonus. Join the conversation on Twitter by searching hashtag SportsNetChallenge. You dig.
Do you believe in extraterrestrials?
Absolutely.
Okay, how
hey,
do you...
Hey,
huh?
What do you think we are?
Well, I think...
What do you know? What do you... Look at it. Look at what they say, how we... I know you don't Adam and Eve, but just look how we... What do you think we are? What do you think we are, though?
I think if we go to another planet, we're definitely extraterrestrials. Like, they're talking about landing on the moon. We're foreign to that land.
Well, maybe we land from somewhere else and came here.
This is true. This right? is absolutely true. Yeah.
They found people 4.4 million years old on this planet, so what's that mean?
Mm.
That's what they say. We don't know if they have the scientific measure to really measure somebody's years and life, how long this piece of bone been here.
Okay,
that's
now.
That's what they tell us.
Now, check this out. You know how they say, right? They say that, you know, people is kind of, you know, trying to find another planet to live on because Earth is about to dwindle. What if we had already fucked up another planet, and there was a pod sent from that planet, and it hit Earth, and when it hit Earth, that was like what killed the dinosaurs. What if that was the case?
All right, maybe so. Right?
Since it's a cycle, because right now motherfuckers trying to find somewhere else to go to get the fuck on away from here.
So check this out, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
I'm 53, right? But check this out, right?
All
right. We haven't really been here long on this planet, right?
Right.
And so let's go, let's say a billion years ago. That's nothing. Let's say a billion years, right?
Okay.
Let's say Saturn was a planet where people existed on.
Okay.
Some race existed there.
Right.
And they did something that fucked up and now it got destroyed.
Imagine
all these worlds were inhabitants at one time and they all made mistakes. They've been there for thousands of years and they made a mistake.
Mm.
And now it's Earth time to wear its time out.
Right. That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
There's also some correlation between the rotation of, around the sun.
Well, we all go back to the sun.
Yeah, there's a period in which every planet will have a certain rotation or a certain distance from the sun, and that distance is the distance that humans can inhabit that planet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's why see, you don't even know why. You know why we like all the diamonds and stuff?
Tell me why.
And oil, because that's what we're made out of. We're made out of the minerals of the earth.
Right on.
That's what all the planets are made of: diamonds, emeralds, gems, stones.
Yeah.
All the planets, Saturn, all of them. In Saturn, it rains diamonds.
What?
Well, look it up.
In Saturn, it rains diamonds.
Somebody look it up. Saturn rains diamonds.
Man, we need to head to the Google.
Get your phone.
Hey, where is my phone? Anybody have my phone?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you or something.
In Saturn, it rains.
So listen, all of these planets are made of minerals. In the earth, there's diamond, gold. It's all in the earth.
Right, right.
You're made of, we're all made of that stuff.
Right on.
And that's what they want. They want to put something on another planet where a machine, and it digs the minerals out, send it back. Because all of it, that's all these planets are, with minerals. And all the planets have minerals.
Right.
You just can't live there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we weren't conditioned to live there. If someone was born there, they'd be conditioned to live there.
Listen, we don't know if there's people on there or not that live there, can live there.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you say beings, not necessarily people, but some form of a being. Yeah,
some form
they got
of
to be living there. How arrogant would it be of us
to believe that we're the only
motherfuckers out here?
As dumb as we are. We're not that bright. But we're not that bright.
On the hieroglyphics, it shows people painted on the walls pointing at some flying saucer of an image.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was what, thousands of years ago.
There's no doubt about that. Every Alexander the Great, all these great before Christ, naysayers and stuff, they all talked about seeing aliens and stuff.
Sure.
And stars and lights.
Right.
You know, we need to know who we are. What are we made of? You know, how long have we been existing? 4.4 million years old? Well, that's just the oldest human being they found.
Right on.
But they could be some older than that. They just haven't found them.
One of the things that we do here expeditiously, and I'm, you know what I'm saying, again, it's been an incredible honor to have you.
Why do you think we die?
Why do I think we die? I think we die to complete the process, Mike.
What process of life?
The process of life, man. That's the process.
You don't think
we're born, we grow, and we die?
Somebody enlighten us that we can live forever?
Well, nah, when you exist, you'll live on forever too, yeah. Mike. Yeah. They gonna make big statues and shit out of you and all that old shit. I'm just telling you, bro, they might not do it while you're alive. When this nigga die,
they gonna lie to this nigga. We ain't gonna,
let him see it while he's here. You know what I'm saying? They gonna be a big motherfucking monument. You dig what I'm saying? Hey, man, I guarantee
you. The eagle too big to see this shit. They can't see this shit, nigga. This nigga too big. You can't see this shit. He probably asleep out by the statue. He ain't gonna never go home.
You know what I'm saying?
He
never going nowhere. Making sure nobody vandalized this pretty motherfucker.
Listen, right? I always when I read about the great entertainers and stuff with the great egos and stuff.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, when they died, some people's ego is so big they want to be at their own funeral. They want to see the people who came.
They want to see how many people came.
They want to see how many people came.
Hey, man, you know what? One more thing. I know I'm supposed to wrap up. What about your relationship with Michael Jackson? How many, like, you used to hang with Mike,
yeah,
right?
I'm going to tell you something funny about him. Mike is interesting, right?
Yeah.
I met Mike one day. I think he was at a concert in Cleveland. I'm with Don King.
Uh-huh.
Right? So me and Dawn coming, right? And I'm champing everything, did all this shit, and disputed. So Dawn goes, and Dawn gives Michael Jackson the peace sign like this.
Okay.
Right? And then so Michael gives Dawn the peace sign. And so I give Michael the peace sign, and Michael put his hand down.
Right.
And I'm saying, but in a way, I said, did he play me? And no, he didn't play me. I know he just didn't see me. I knew he didn't play me, right?
See, I'm fucking Mike could have set it off for Michael Jackson.
We went backstage, right? So I'm backstage, and so there's his backstage, some of his singers and stuff. He's on stage, it's over. I'm signing autographs and stuff.
Okay.
So Michael comes over, and he talks to Don. He doesn't talk to me. He waits right here for the truck to come, and he's going to go out the car and get in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm signing autographs of people, and people coming up to me. And I said, let me just go and meet Mike, and it's, you know, because that's really why I'm here. I want to meet Mike.
Right.
And then I go over to meet Mike, and Mike's like this. He's standing up, and he's like waiting by the door. And then some guy come over like this, and he said, I said, hey, I'm Clara. He goes, do I know you from somewhere? Where I know you from? I just shattered the record, undisputed champ and everything a month ago, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's all over me in the dressing room, right? And he just went by the door and he goes, where I know you from? I know you from somewhere, don't I? I said, no, I just a fan. He just broke my ear. He crushed me.
Damn.
I said, no, I'm just a fan. Pleasure to meet you, sir. And then he got out in the car. I said, that cold motherfucker. So I hated his guts forever, right? Every time he heard Michael Jackson's name came, I said, fuck that motherfucker. And this and that, and this and that, and this and that. And so one day, Roddy Jerkins was working with him, right?
All
right. And he said, yo, man, come see Mike. I said, no, fuck that. I don't want to see that motherfucker. He dissed me, man. That motherfucker played me. Made me look like a fucking bitch in front of all those people.
Mm.
He said, nah, man, he's cool, man. Mike's acts for you to come. I said, he didn't ask for me. Get the fuck. He said, Mike, he asked for you, man. I said, really?
Damn.
I said, okay, I'm coming. I'll be over there, right? So I got the plane. I went over there and I hung out and we just started hanging out together. And I said, fuck, man, he's a good guy. I said, but my mom, right. Why you playing me though, Mike? Why you playing me? You knew who I was. Why you playing me?
Yeah, Mike, crazy. Hey, man.
Fuck.
But Mike, is he, like a nigga, he say, where I know you from?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. He's a nigga.
Yeah.
That's what surprised me. Listen, I'm looking at this thing with Rodney Jerkins showing him a film.
Uh-huh.
And it's a girl, it's something about the girl of the video. Something was happening. They were looking at the school, that girl found. And then Michael said, what did he say? Yeah, if you had a Rolls Royce, she'd get it with you. Something like that. So I knew he knew the game, right? I said, Michael, you said that. I said, Michael said that. Fuck.
If you had a Rolls Royce, she'd get in with you.
Yes, I said, what, Michael say that? Fuck, he said, I'm listening on the tape. I said, fuck, Mike know what time it is.
The great Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you think Mike's a little girl. Oh, wow, life is nice. Mike know what time it is. He knew what time it is. That's what I really wanted to tell you. He knew what time. He wasn't no fucking stupid little feeble-looking little boy like Peter Pan. He was fucking sharp. He knew what time it was.
Yeah.
He was a nigga. He knew what fucking time it was. It blew my mind.
Right.
I would never see him talk. Didn't know what. You have to be conscious and know what time it was. Never in a million years. I thought he was a fucking idiot.
Mm.
You know, I thought he was an idiot all the time until I met him that day.
Damn.
I always loved him as an entertainer and stuff until I met him.
And then you felt like he didn't show you the same consideration you deserved.
No, when I met him in his house, then I learned to respect him. I knew he was a player.
Right.
I thought he was a little retarded little boy. He was playing like a kid for these whites, but he was a player.
Yeah.
So he schooled me. I learned something.
And I think that's another thing we got to do, you know what I'm saying, that I think we could all learn from. The fact that you got to be willing and open to other ideas besides your own.
Absolutely. You got to get out of your head.
Yeah.
You got to get out of your head.
Especially when we're younger and we come from a place where if it ain't what success looks like to us, then we reject it, or we don't acknowledge
it. That's 100%. That's all. You can't just be judgmental.
Right on.
Because the way my son and some of my kids live their life, I said, how could you be successful doing it? Success to me is breaking your back, breaking your bones, hurting yourself, which isn't smart. You're successful, but you got a lot to pay for it now.
Yeah.
Now I got to go get these steroid shots for these nerves and all this stuff, because I believe that the harder you work, the more successful you become. So I gave it everything I got every day.
Man, we thank you for your sacrifice, bro.
Man, thank you for, man, your sacrifice. That's why we're here together, because we put in the same sacrifice.
Right on. Well, shit, I mean, you know, your legacy has inspired me, you know what I'm saying, and made me see myself in a different light, you know what I mean? and even your evolution and how you bounced back, man, and came and, you know what I'm saying, switched the game up, came from a different approach to diversify your portfolio. That's also commendable. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank
bro.
You very much. The portfolio, that's awesome portfolio. Like when it's the end of the day, we have our portfolio in life. We have to show too.
That's another thing I was gonna say, because when you were talking about people in the past, you know, historically who were great, I had to come to the realization that us being great and remembered after we die will not ever be for our material things that we had.
100%.
Ain't nobody gonna ever remember us for what we had.
Nobody that I admire because they have money.
Right.
And money is not the reason why I admire.
People
that
will remember us. Ain't it something?
They had a lot of money, but that wasn't the reason why I admired.
People will admire us after we're gone for what we were able to do for other people. You know what I mean? That's what you're going to acknowledge. Nobody knows what kind of car Martin Luther King rode in. Nobody know what kind of watch, what kind of suit Malcolm X had. You know what I mean? None of that shit matters. You dig? What matters is what they were able to do for others. That's why we remember people.
They enriched the world.
They enriched the world, absolutely.
Enriched the world.
And so that's all of our...
That's
all our challenge.
Yeah,
and that's what the journey is about. So, and you doing an exceptional job, setting an example for people like me. Thank you, bro. I appreciate you. Love and respect. Love and respect.
I'm so happy I'm here doing this with you.
And next time I see you, we're going to talk about Muhammad Ali, too.
That.
Yeah. All right, man. This has been Expeditiously.
Expeditiously a wonderful interview.
Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.